This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin. Wake up!
I can handle it this morning.
Yeah!
How about that? That's my best guttural scream for you because that was really cool last night. Welcome in! Paulie's a little shocked that I had that in me.
I'm aroused.
Good actually, morning!
That's what I am. Wow.
On a Wednesday.
Wow.
I'm probably done after that.
It hurts.
Now I gotta talk for four more hours after that. Welcome in to Ben and Woods. It is the middle of the short week here already. It is Paul Reindel, our executive producer, and myself. Woodsy is going to take one more day at least. Hopefully, he'll be back tomorrow, if not in person, at least virtually on the program as he recovers this week from, you know, the coronavirus. But he's okay. He's doing better, right? Yesterday, Paulie, last time
yeah,
you heard from him.
Better.
I have not heard from him this morning yet, but as of yesterday, he was definitely on the road to recovery.
Yeah. I talked to him earlier in the day yesterday. He still had the raspy voice a little bit, drinking a lot of tea and water and just trying to recover, but he's feeling better, which is good.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good this morning, a little tired after a terrific night last night at Petco Park. We went and celebrated my son's 21st birthday with family. We got a suite. Got the full experience. Family all got together, and grandparents, uncles, cousins, and we filled up one of the field level suites behind home plate, which I had never been in one of those. We have the Odyssey box that mm-hmm. we go in a lot, and it's different. It's a different view. So you're right at the back of the field level section. So, you know, when you come up the big staircase with the waterfall, it's essentially, it was the first box right there.
Okay.
It was premium suite one. That place was luxurious, to say the least. I mean, you know, like all the suites, it's got the, you know, the kind of the living room area, giant television, which
it's
was
like right under the owner's boxes, right under the broadcast booth.
So you're kind of under the awning. The only thing that you couldn't see was like if a fly ball, it would disappear on you until it came back into play. But otherwise, terrific view of the field. The box was fantastic. It was got a giant television. So, you know, basketball, Ben's family had the NBA playoff game going on for the first hour after we got there before the game started. Dad and my son were both watching that really, really closely. Had the food spread which was really cool. We went with more traditional items. We got hot dogs. We got mac and cheese. We did get sushi. My son likes sushi, so we got a sushi platter, which
was hot dogs and sushi.
Pretty decent. Not a bad combination. My stomach's a little on edge this morning after hot dogs and sushi last night at the ballpark.
That's a hell of a combination.
And then, we did a birthday cake. They set that up as well at Petco Park, a big vanilla cake with chocolate frosting that was really good. Got to sing Happy Birthday and the seventh inning stretch at the same time. At the end of the game, and what a fun game to get to go to as well. I mean, just when you're going and you kind of cross your fingers that you don't get a dud. I mean, you pick the day, you know, a couple of months in advance, like, okay. I mean, you don't know who the pitching matchup's going to be. You have no idea. And, of course, you see it coming and you go, Jesus Luzardo against Matt Waldron. It's a night game. They're not winning night games. They're not beating lefties. They're not winning at home. Oh, this could be an L. That's not what we were going for. But instead, not only did you get a win, but you get to see some Major League Baseball history made in the ninth inning when Jeremiah Estrada comes in and strikes out his 11th, 12th, and 13th batters in a row. I wasn't quite sure going into the game like what the record was, but apparently that was the new Major League Baseball record, at least since they started keeping like play-by-play stats in 1961 in the modern era of baseball. So, you know, with the current mound and, you know, basically in an era that you can compare apples to apples, it's the greatest stretch of individual pitching that we've ever seen. And it belongs to one of the most unlikely now characters. It's not Randy Johnson or Billy Wagner or
Mariano Rivera
or Trevor Hoffman or someone who is a legend of the game, a Hall of Famer. It belongs to a guy who was waived by the Chicago Cubs in November. He was waived for nothing by a team that just didn't see that he had enough potential left in him to be kept on the fringes of their organization. Picked up by A.J. Preller in the offseason.
Good morning, guys.
And, you know, makes it up to the big leagues just, a few weeks ago. Works his way from low leverage innings to, you know, back of the bullpen, high leverage success. And now has struck out 13 consecutive batters. We will obviously talk about that a lot. But it was a really, really cool night at the ballpark last night.
41,000 in attendance, City Connect.
Belt bags. We got all of our belt bags. It was really fun.
And maybe my favorite part of the night: 2 hours and 1 minute.
It was flying.
I wrapped up. It was like 8:30. I go, This is great.
It was almost, and you'll never hear me say this again. This is the only time I will ever say this. It was almost too fast, especially when you're in a luxury box and you're kind of, you still got some food left at the end. Yeah. It's like at the end of the game, we're all like, you want to stay for another like 30 minutes and try to finish up the rest of this stuff?
I remember one time we had really, really good seats, and it was one of the fastest games of the season. I was like, I wouldn't be that upset about extra innings tonight, maybe. But no, that was everything you could draw up in a great Padres win. Just shaking off a lot of those demons. Night game, lefty, good lefty. Petco Park, like, it had L written all over it based on the trends that the Padres have had at home. And for them to come out, we're talking about, hey, it's time for a sweep. Got to win two to get to three. And now everything's lining up really well.
I will say that one of the really cool things about where we were, since it was almost directly behind home plate, I mean, just a few feet off to the right there, is to really get to see the knuckleball dancing from Matt Waldron last night and have such an interesting and unique perspective kind of from more of the batter's point of view of the game, in which he threw more knuckleballs than he ever has in his career. 55%
locked in
usage,
man.
Last night. But just kind of have that perspective and seeing it there was really cool. Ran into a lot of tier ones, as I always do at the ballpark last night. Everybody in a good mood and saying hi because, The baseball team is playing pretty well right now, and they're two games above 500 for the first time since the middle of April, since they were 11-9, and life is good for Padres fans, at least at the moment. As we all know, That can sometimes be a temporary condition. Well, it is. It's baseball. So even the best teams will go through some struggles. The Philadelphia Phillies have come down to earth a little bit in the last few days. It happens to everybody. There are ups and downs of every baseball season, which is why I think it's so important to enjoy the ups when they happen. And last night was clearly one of the great ups and great memorable nights of the season, and just very thankful and fortunate that we got to be there and experience it in person on a significant night for our family and for my son, and we all had a really good time. He's a huge Jurickson Profar fan too. I mean, well, who isn't a huge Jurickson Profar fan? But
MV Profar.
He was predicted that Jurickson got to be the offensive star of the game as well. So yeah, really, really good night at the ballpark.
Was it as confusing for you as it was for everybody watching on whether or not that was a home run?
It was one of the, we'll talk about it more when we get to our Padres wrap up. It was one of the weirder moments I've ever been.
I actually haven't heard the call yet from Jesse.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I heard it on the way home last night.
But I was watching on television, and you definitely thought he caught it.
He's just as confused as everybody else, I promise you.
Don and Tony thought he caught it.
I kept looking, like, I know the thing in the bullpen is you don't react to anything. But not even like, I mean, guys, you can see it at least. You saw that the ball landed in your bullpen. It's a home run.
Because they kept showing the replay.
One of you, maybe, put your arms in the air or something.
Yes.
And there were a few fans I saw on replay. If you haven't seen the home run, it was deep to left center toward the Padres bullpen. And Jazz Chisholm goes up over the wall and way up over the wall. And you can't tell from 90% of the ballpark whether or not he has it or not, and his reaction pretty much doesn't give it away. So Fernando Tatis Jr., who was on first, kind of stops at second, like waiting, like, do I have to run back? Is he going to try to double me off? Is it a home run trot? Umpires aren't signaling. The only people in the ballpark, there's a few I saw on replay who are out in like left center who could look directly to their left
and saw the ball
bounce. There was like maybe 500 of the 41,000 in attendance that were actually cheering, but everyone else was just kind of, it just went silent and just like everyone's holding their breath for like 10 seconds.
And I'm just waiting, and Megan goes, "Oh, I caught it." And I go, "Show me the ball, you mother." And wait, and I'm like, wait. And then he like flipped the glove. There was nothing in there. We're like, yeah, it was awesome, man. Great night for the San Diego Padres.
How was your day?
Day was fine. Just got a busy few days coming up. Anniversary tomorrow night, going out to dinner, and then we are hopping on a plane on Sunday morning. So just kind of doing the pre-vacation cleaning, laundry, packing, etc.
You will have earned your vacation after this week.
I was saying the same thing last night.
I'm not mad at Woods. It's not his fault that he's not here, but it does. It just puts extra on, everybody's plate.
That is the light at the end of the tunnel right now.
A little bit harder this week, obviously, not to have him, but hopefully we will have him in some way, shape, or form for tomorrow's program. As long as he continues to get better, that's at least the plan. Until then, though, I appreciate all the Tier 1s who are waking up early and joining us here. Going to be around until 10 o'clock. We will come back and set the menu for the program today, and we will pay off yesterday's Incorporator appearance by Jesse Ackler.
This, I know we say this a lot. I mean it, though. One of my all-time favorite Incorporators.
I agree. I just heard it. And it's fantastic. Bob Scanlon plays a role in it as well.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the longer Incorporators.
How did Jesse work the word crepuscular into last night's 4-0 victorious broadcast over the Miami Marlins? We'll get to that. And we'll reward some early rising Tier 1s with some tickets to the San Diego County Fair, which I can't believe it's already time for the San Diego County Fair. But it is. It's like less than 2 weeks away. So we will do that when we come back, get things started, set the menu, and more. First, Kelly Danick, check of traffic, and then off and running on a Wednesday with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, that Jesse Adler.
Did it again last night.
He's always up to something.
Did it again last night. Now, as I told him, I didn't think he'd have trouble with the incorporator word that the Tier 1s came up with yesterday for him. But he's got Bob Scanlon sitting at his side, which always, I think, brings a different dynamic. Bob has done the incorporator before when he's filled in for Jesse. So he's a little more, I think, kind of cognizant, if I use an incorporator word myself.
But Tony works here.
What might be going on? Tony works here, but I don't blame Tony for not being necessarily dialed into the incorporator every week. He's in the afternoons. He's got his own schedule. It's fine. Bob was just a little more aware. So we've got the setup and the word from yesterday. Here's Jesse Adler receiving his incorporator word with me and Paul yesterday.
It is time for the incorporator, and Paulie's got your word fired up. It comes from Tier 1 Courtney, and I think this is going to be the easiest one you've had all season. You just have to find a way to work it in. Here it is, Jesse.
Crepuscular.
Crepuscular. It is having to do or relating to twilight. Crepuscular.
Now, I heard Annie and Elston were talking about it for a few minutes as well during their show, the incorporator. So maybe it was just on everybody's mind. But so the game starts. When did this take place last night,
Paulie? This was in the top of the second inning.
Okay, early.
Yeah.
Early. Crepuscular, meaning having to do with twilight. So he kept it early when we're still kind of in the twilight portion
of the
game.
Yeah, top of the second was at like 7:15 p.m.
Padres Petco Park struggles well documented at this point, particularly in night games. Ball outside, 2-1, and for whatever reason or reasons or non-reasons, this has not just been a great team at night at home. Not particularly nocturnal or crepuscular. Pitch here is inside, nearly hit him. They are 3-15.
We can stop it there, right?
Well, hold on. First of all, I have to point out, not to embarrass Jesse, but it's crepuscular, and he said crepuscular.
Not particularly nocturnal or crepuscular. Pitch here is inside, nearly hit him. They
Let's
are
just keep it going, though,
15.
And see what happens.
Yeah. In night games at Petco Park, 9-3 in day games here in San Diego. Go figure.
Is that a Ben and Woods word you just slid in there, Jesse?
Obviously. Come on. 3-1.
Obviously. Come on.
Called out directly by Bob Scanlon.
Is that a Ben and Woods word you just slid in there, Jesse?
Obviously. Come on. 3-1 to Otto Lopez. The pitch is swung on, hit in the air to center field, straight away pretty deep, but Azokar tracks it down in the gap, and he will make the catch. So the palindromic Otto Lopez is out, one away here in the third. That was my error.
Well done.
It is a Tuesday, after all. Number 9 hitter catcher Nick Fortes.
You might as well celebrate your 10-year anniversary with some exceptional verbiage. Wordsmith that you are.
Uh-huh. So I explained to Jesse all I have his different styles. This is actually a new and different style. This is try to work it in with other long words to make it seem less unusual, nocturnal, palindromic, and crepuscular. Or crepuscular, as Jesse said it last night.
Is that a Ben and Woods word?
Just outstanding.
Fantastic. And by the way, congratulations to Jesse. So when we were at the game last night, right before the game, they honored, and they've done this, I think they do it every season. So when you are a Padres employee, whether you work in the front office or the ticket office or wherever, when you get to your five-year anniversary, and I think every 5 years after that, they invite you down to the field before the game, and, nice. And Eric Grubner and Mike Schilt are standing at home plate, and then they call out each employee individually for the anniversary, like congratulations on 5 years, so-and-so, and they take a picture. You get a picture at home plate right before the game, which is really cool.
They do it like on your actual five or 10 years?
I think they do it.
It's
sometimes,
your fifth season.
It's
so
your fifth
it
season,
the
and they
night.
Do them all because they had like seven or eight people lined up. And they had the five-year anniversaries, and then they got to the 10-year anniversaries. And they Jesse was not down on the field, but they showed him. He was, because he was only about 3 minutes away from his broadcast. So he was up in the booth, and they put him on the big screen, and everyone gave him a round of applause. And I texted him congratulations on, hard to believe that it's been 10 years since Jesse arrived from Miami. He was working with the Miami Dolphins organization, and then came to start the Padres Social Hour show. Rest in peace, Padres Social Hour, which I was oftentimes a guest and a host on as well. And then worked his way into the booth, obviously, and has done such a phenomenal job now over these last few years calling games here on 97.3 The Fan, including Incorporators on Tuesday night, which he hit another one out of the park with Bob. Was right there and ready to call him out for it. So,
love that.
Great
love
job it. All around for Jesse, and congratulations to Jesse Agler. All right, let's set the menu for the show today. Don't go anywhere, because in just a couple of minutes, we will go through all of Jesse's highlights, including that was it a home run moment in the first inning by Jurickson Profar off Jesus Luzardo that even most of the people in the ballpark had no idea if it was. Even the person who plays the horn sound when the ball goes, he or she was waiting to hit the button, because you don't want to play the horn and then find out that the guy's got it in his glove, because that's embarrassing. So it was one of the longest just hold your breath, is it out, is it
that
not out
bizarre.
Moments. And you'll hear that call and the call of Jeremiah Estrada's ninth inning strikeouts to set a new Major League Baseball record coming up in our next segment in our Padres wrap-up. In our 7 o'clock hour, regular features, including instead of take on Woods today, again, no Woods, he will play another game of Padres Real or Fake. Yesterday we did Jake Cronenworth. Today I've got a new member of the Padres, 7 factoids that may or may not be true, and you have to separate the real from the fake for a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Coming up at about 7:10 this morning. Don't do this at 7:20, and then it is a Big League Wednesday coming up at 7:35. Where in the world is Adam Jones? And this one is going
to... I think
this one's going to shock you, because I knew Adam Jones was in Cooperstown, New York, just a couple of days ago, because he was there with our Tony Gwynn Jr.
Let's look at the facts.
We
he lives
facts.
In Barcelona.
Barcelona, Spain.
Currently.
He was in Cooperstown, New York.
Like 48 hours ago.
Yes, we know that for a fact. Okay. He actually won the home run derby at that Negro League celebration that they did, that they honored, and we'll talk about that as well, the big decision by Major League Baseball to incorporate Negro League stats into Major League Baseball stats, which has changed instantly overnight.
Yeah.
The record book, some of baseball's most hallowed records have fallen in one night just because of a change in the ruling. So we'll talk about that as well. But when you find out, apparently, where Adam Jones is today, I think you're going to be fairly shocked, because I was shocked. I go, really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I had to check the time zones, figure out what time it'll be, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Adam Jones on a Big League Wednesday at 7:35. In our 8 o'clock hour, Brad Boone will join us on a Big League Wednesday as well. Love our conversations with Booney. He'll be with us at 8:35. Paulie's got his Roundel Report at 9 o'clock, and we will get you ready for the series finale. Early baseball today, Padres going for their first sweep of the season. And a four-game winning streak to boot. That would be their second four-game winning streak, but their first sweep of the year as they take on the Miami Marlins one more time. 1:10 first pitch today, and we'll get you ready, preview what's coming up in just a few hours here on 97.3 The Fan. It would be great, though, if the Padres could lock down a winning homestand. Remember, they lost the first two games of the six, so Only way to have a winning homestand was to win the last four. They got Sunday. They got Monday. They got Tuesday. Can they get Wednesday and wrap it up with their first of the season? So we will talk about that a little bit later as well. Coming up next, though, our Padres wrap up. First, though, as I promised, the San Diego County Fair is coming up starting June 12th. That's like 2 weeks away through July 7th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Details are at sdfair.com, but we're giving away a four-pack of tickets this morning. If you'd like to win them, be the fifth caller at 833-288-0973. Fifth caller, 833-288-0973. Our first four-pack of San Diego County Fair tickets up for grabs right now to the Tier 1s. Give us a call, 833-288-0973, and then we'll come back with our Padres wrap-up from last night's 4-0 win over the Miami Marlins with Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Congratulations to Luis Arraez, who was named the National League Player of the Week. Also, congratulations to, is it Anita? Did you say who just
yes.
won? Anita, who just won our San Diego County Fair tickets. Good news, we have another four-pack to give away a little bit later in the program today. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win. But for Arraez, of course, an amazing week that included an eight-game multi-hit streak, one off the Padres franchise record. That did come to an end last Friday, but finished the week going 17 for 36, .472 batting average, home run, four RBI, only one strikeout for the entire week. And he was named National League Player of the Week. First time a Padre has won that, I believe, since Juan Soto got it last season. And then Bobby Witt Jr. was the American League Player of the Week, which brings up a very, I would assume, rare circumstance that this weekend you will have the reigning NL and AL Players of the Week going up against each other as the Padres head to Kansas City to start their road trip on Friday with three games against the Royals. So it can't possibly, since it's an interleague game and you only play those teams once a year, you just have to get lucky. Like, is that the one week that you're facing that team that the two players of the week could go up against each other? But they will actually do so this weekend, barring any unfortunate health for either of them. But both of those guys on a roll right now, and we'll see them on the field together. But first, Padres will have to wrap up their homestand this afternoon against the Miami Marlins at 1:10, and they'll be going for their fourth win in a row, thanks to last night's 4-0 victory. We will wrap that up with our Padres wrap-up and all the highlights right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented Mool Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Fernando not going anywhere, and the 3-1 hit in the air to deep left center field. Chisholm is back on the warning track, right in front of the wall, leaps up over the fence. Did he make the catch? He's going to make us wait to see, and he did not. A two-run home run, and Jazz may be hurt. Profar's eighth of the year. Padres take a 2-0 lead. Chisholm nearly made a spectacular play over the wall in left center field, but he did not. Certainly looking to get it going at the dish. 0-1 pitch, reach for it, grounded off the mound, out to Kim at shortstop. Off balance throw to first is in time. Easy breezy, 1-2-3 second inning for Matt Waldron. I think you nailed it. 0-2, check swing, went around, strike three. Nasty knuckleball, Chisholm strikes out. That's number eight for Waldron, who is through five shutout innings. Tatis at first, Arraez at second. The 1-0 to Jurickson is chopped to the left side. Beyond Berger into left field. Arraez being waved on his way. Gordon's throw to the plate will not be in time. An RBI single for Jurickson Profar, and he leads the Marlins 3-0. Not really sure why. Cortez swings at the first pitch, grounds it right to Solano. Third baseman's got it. Throw to first in time. And an easy breezy 1-2-3 inning for Matt Waldron, who is through seven for the first time in his big league career. Ramirez kicks and fires. And a breaking ball grounded over the bag, down the line at third, and off that side wall. Manny will jog home to score. Solano into second with an RBI double, his third hit of the night, and the Padre lead is 4-0. Estrada set and ready. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. 11 in a row for Jeremiah Estrada. Padres with a 4-0 lead in the ninth. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. He got him. 12 in a row for Jeremiah Estrada. 11 pitches, 9 strikes, couple of Ks. Looking for one more. 1-2 to Gordon. The pitch from Estrada. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Another splitter. Another K. Lucky 13 for Jeremiah Estrada. And the Padres shut out the Marlins 4-0. What an exclamation point to a brilliant pitching performance by Waldron and Peralta and Estrada. Padres have won the series against the Marlins. They will go for the sweep here tomorrow afternoon. Final score tonight, San Diego 4, Miami nothing.
I'd say it was tremendous pitching. I thought it was fantastic, of course. That was great. You know, he dominated the strike zone. I mean, he was really, he's just filled it up. Knuckleball, four-seamer, able to throw a sweeper when he needed to. Just a tremendous job. I mean, the knuckleball was outstanding. Fastball command was really good. But again, he dominated the strike zone. You're looking at 85 pitches, 67 strikes. Set a career high for going through 7 innings, which is, you know, a big hurdle for him. And did just a tremendous job. Can't say enough about the effort tonight. And made a great play in the fifth.
Where do we even start with that one last night? I'm looking up at my television. Padres are the talk of MLB Network this morning after just so many outstanding performances in the game last night. I guess we'll just start chronologically with some great highlights there from Jesse. Beginning in the bottom of the first inning with the home run by Jurickson Profar that truly, and being kind of in the same part of the ballpark behind home plate where Jesse was, totally understand it because we had no idea if Jazz Chisholm had made that catch or not made that catch. The ball went into the Padres bullpen, but it didn't bounce high enough where you could see it for sure. Like, again, once it disappeared
over
behind
the fence,
the wall,
yeah.
It was close enough to his glove that it could have been in his glove. Remember earlier this season when Julio Rodriguez went over the wall and robbed Fernando Tatis Jr. of a home run, but then slow played it and didn't show everybody for, you know, 5 to 10 seconds. And then, oh, I got it. Sorry. And then we were all disappointed. So everyone, you know, at Petco Park, at least, you know, 39 to 40,000 of us were just waiting and kind of holding our breath. And so was Fernando Tatis Jr., who had just gotten a single and was at first base. He ran kind of most of the way to second,
right,
going, what do I do? Do I go back? You can't pass Jurickson because then, you know, that's a problem. And then so Jurickson's got to wait and he's not sure. You know, they've got this confused look on their face. And finally, you get the sense, okay, Jazz doesn't have the ball, and they play the horn sound after about 10, 15 seconds, and the two of them go trotting around the bases as the Padres take that 2-0 lead in the first inning. It does bring up a possible, I don't know, flaw in the design, though, because let's say Jazz did have it, but didn't show anybody. And Tatis is standing there at second base, and the umpires haven't made a call yet either.
He could walk halfway back in.
What does he do? Because Jazz could double him off first base. And he's like, I don't got it. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Because you can't – Jurickson's already, you know, gotten to first base and rounded. So you can't pass Jurickson because if you go back, even during a home run, you're out. So he can't run back to first base because he'd pass Jurickson. But he can't keep going because Jazz might have the ball. It's kind of fortunately it didn't come, you know, to into play because the ball was a home run. But had Jazz Chisholm actually caught that.
Interesting gamesmanship.
Had Jazz Chisholm actually caught that and was slow playing it and like, I don't know, I guess we'll find out in a couple of seconds. He really left, you know, Tatis and Jurickson hanging out to dry there on what it was. And I guess it's up to the umpire to make a faster ruling. Like, you got to tell us, right? Right away, one way or another, if it's out or safe, and if you rule it's a home run and then he does catch it,
then at the very least, you can't say that the guy can get doubled up at first because he's just going by what the umpire said. Umpire said it's a home run, so I started my trot.
Right.
And you'd have to put him back at first base then if it was an out. So maybe the moral of the story, and Jazz didn't do this, but Julio Rodriguez absolutely did. I don't think there was anyone on base when Julio Rodriguez did it.
It's very rare to even have the opportunity to do that. A lot of things have to come into place. It's like once a season, maybe.
But don't slow play the home run robbing catch either way. And Jazz didn't, so I'm not criticizing Jazz Chisholm. And I don't think anyone was on base when Julio Rodriguez did it. But I had that thought going, this potentially creates a real dilemma out there on the base paths with no call, no idea of what you're supposed to do, but then no option to really go back or go forward. We were all just left in a state of limbo. For a few seconds last night going, I don't know what's happening here at the ballpark. But Jurickson, by the way, they put up a screen, and I tried to screenshot it, but I didn't quite get there. But I'll tell you, his rank still in Major League Baseball, top 10 in average. I think he's sixth in average, third in on-base percentage, seventh in OPS. His walk rate is top 20. His strikeout rate, not striking out, is top 20. And the two combined are one of the best in baseball this season. That was a shot. I mean, to hit one like that on a very cool, May gray night at Petco Park, even early in the game. It wasn't a warm day. It was walking into the game last night. It was cold. The wind was cold. It was not one of those nights that the ball will be traveling. To hit one out to that part of the park just shows you where Jurickson's game is this season. I mean, he's got everything. That's his eighth home run of the year. So he's got certainly the power. He's got slug. He's got on base. He takes a ton of walks. He's got a great eye. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. Is not striking out. Not quite to the level of Luis Arraez, but certainly among the best in baseball at not striking out. And he's getting tons of hits as well, enough to have the third highest average or sixth highest average right now in Major League Baseball. So more offense from Jurickson Profar. He later had an RBI single off a good pitcher, by the way. Jesus Luzardo was coming off three consecutive really, really good starts, yeah. And wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination last night as well. He was good. Padres struggled against lefties, but Jurickson has been the only guy, well, along with Donovan Solano since he came up, that he's has kind been of great. Been immune to the lefty struggles. And yeah. They were the two guys who drove in all the runs last night. So it doesn't necessarily fix all the Padres' problems against lefties. It just is the two guys who haven't had problems are the ones who came through. Now, Tatis did get a couple of hits. Manny Machado extended his hitting streak to seven games. I think it's pretty much one per game. It's not like he's on fire.
I was going to say, I'm not prepared to say, like, oh, they're, they're locked in. They're out of it.
No. I don't see that offensively yet, but
I'd rather that than having them go.
Exactly.
Like, they're starting to get rolling, I think.
So that was pretty much the story offensively. Padres took that. And then the way Matt Waldron was throwing, it was one of those rare games where you felt pretty comfortable. Like, I don't think the Miami Marlins can hit this guy. I know it's a knuckleball, so it's unpredictable, and that can change pretty quickly. Right. But watching him work, I think they only got the tying run up a couple of times over the course of the game, even with the two-run lead.
He worked out a few jams.
A couple jams, but you never really got the sense that he was at all being taxed by the Marlins, and that was because he was throwing so many strikes. I mean,
so
like,
efficient. He had ten pitches an inning for most
and,
of the game.
After the game, Matt Waldron caught up on a very celebratory post-game field with her own Sam Levitt.
Matt, congratulations on an excellent outing here tonight. Seven scoreless innings. What worked so well tonight?
Yeah, I was relying on the knuckleball tonight for sure. I feel like my fastball didn't have the velo, so I just relied on it. They were, it was executing. I just trusted what Hickey put down. So
the knuckleball, 55% usage tonight. That's the most you've ever used it in your career. What inspired the confidence in that particular pitch tonight?
I guess just the results of it. There wasn't a whole lot of strong contact, and some days it's like that, and I just got to ride that high. So I kept using it.
What about the rest of your arsenal? What worked?
Just getting ahead. I think 0-0 strike percentage and 1-1 strike percentage was great. So
as far as the guy who just shut the door on this game, Jeremiah Estrada, just set a major league record since 1961 with 13 consecutive strikeouts. From your vantage point, what did that look like?
Yeah, that was completely different.
Congratulations to Luis Arraez, who was named the National League Player of the Week. Also, congratulations to... Is it Anita? Did you say who just won? Anita, who just won our San Diego County Fair tickets. Good news, we have another four-pack to give away a little bit later in the program today. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win. But for Arraez, of course, an amazing week that included an eight-game multi-hit streak, one off the Padres franchise record. That did come to an end last Friday, but finished the week going 17 for 36, 472 batting average, home run, four RBI, only one strikeout for the entire week. And he was named National League Player of the Week. First time a Padre has won that, I believe, since Juan Soto got it last season. And then Bobby Witt Jr. was the American League Player of the Week, which brings up a very, I would assume, rare circumstance that this weekend you will have the reigning NL and AL Players of the Week going up against each other as the Padres head to Kansas City to start their road trip on Friday with three games against the Royals. So it can't possibly, since it's an interleague game and you only play those teams once a year, you just have to get lucky. Like, is that the one week that you're facing that team that the two players of the week could go up against each other? But they will actually do so this weekend, barring any unfortunate health for either of them. But both of those guys on a roll right now, and we'll see them on the field together. But first, Padres will have to wrap up their homestand this afternoon against the Miami Marlins at 1:10, and they'll be going for their fourth win in a row, thanks to last night's 4-0 victory. We will wrap that up with our Padres wrap-up and all the highlights right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres' win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented Mool Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage.
Fernando not going anywhere, and the 3-1 hit in the air to deep left center field. Chisholm is back on the warning track, right in front of the wall, leaps up over the fence. Did he make the catch? He's going to make us wait to see, and he did not. A two-run home run, and Jazz may be hurt. Profar is eighth of the year. Padres take a 2-0 lead. Chisholm nearly made a spectacular play over the wall in left center field, but he did not. Certainly looking to get it going at the dish. 0-1 pitch, reach for it, grounded off the mound, out to Kim at shortstop. Off balance throw to first is in time. Easy breezy, 1-2-3 second inning for Matt Waldron. I think you nailed it. 0-2, check swing, went around, strike three. Nasty knuckleball, Chisholm strikes out. That's number eight for Waldron, who is through five shutout innings. Tatis at first, Arraez at second. The 1-0 to Jurickson is chopped to the left side. Beyond Berger into left field. Arraez being waved on his way. Gordon's throw to the plate will not be in time. An RBI single for Jurickson Profar, and he leads the Marlins 3-0. Not really sure why. Cortez swings at the first pitch, grounds it right to Solano. Third baseman's got it. Throw to first in time. And an easy breezy 1-2-3 inning for Matt Waldron, who is through seven for the first time in his big league career. Ramirez kicks and fires. And a breaking ball grounded over the bag, down the line at third, and off that side wall. Manny will jog home to score. Solano into second with an RBI double, his third hit of the night, and the Padre lead is 4-0. Estrada set and ready. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. 11 in a row for Jeremiah Estrada. Padres with a 4-0 lead in the ninth. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. He got him. 12 in a row for Jeremiah Estrada. 11 pitches, 9 strikes, couple of Ks. Looking for one more. One and two to Gordon. The pitch from Estrada. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Another splitter. Another K. Lucky 13 for Jeremiah Estrada. And the Padres shut out the Marlins 4-0. What an exclamation point to a brilliant pitching performance by Waldron and Peralta and Estrada. Padres have won the series against the Marlins. They will go for the sweep here tomorrow afternoon. Final score tonight, San Diego 4, Miami nothing.
I'd say it was tremendous pitching. I thought it was fantastic, of course. That was great. You know, he dominated the strike zone. I mean, he was really he's just filled it up. Knuckleball, four-seamer, able to throw a sweeper when he needed to. Just a tremendous job. I mean, the knuckleball was outstanding. Fastball command was really good. But again, he dominated the strike zone. You're looking at 85 pitches, 67 strikes. Set a career high for going through seven innings, which is, you know, a big hurdle for him. And did just a tremendous job. Can't say enough about the effort tonight. And made a great play in the fifth.
Where do we even start with that one last night? I'm looking up at my television. Padres are the talk of MLB Network this morning after just so many outstanding performances in the game last night. I guess we'll just start chronologically with some great highlights there from Jesse. Beginning in the bottom of the first inning with the home run by Jurickson Profar that truly, and being kind of in the same part of the ballpark behind home plate where Jesse was, totally understand it because we had no idea if Jazz Chisholm had made that catch or not made that catch. The ball went into the Padres bullpen, but it didn't bounce high enough where you could see it for sure. Like, again, once it disappeared
over
behind
the fence,
the wall,
yeah.
It was close enough to his glove that it could have been in his glove. Remember earlier this season when Julio Rodriguez went over the wall and robbed Fernando Tatis Jr. of a home run, but then slow played it and didn't show everybody for, you know, 5 to 10 seconds, and then, oh, I got it. Sorry. And then we were all disappointed. So everyone, you know, at Petco Park, at least, you know, 39 to 40,000 of us were just waiting and kind of holding our breath. And so was Fernando Tatis Jr., who had just gotten a single and was at first base. He ran kind of most of the way to second,
right,
going, what do I do? Do I go back? You can't pass Jurickson because then, you know, that's a problem. And then so Jurickson's got to wait and he's not sure. You know, they've got this confused look on their face. And finally, you get the sense, okay, Jazz doesn't have the ball, and they play the horn sound after about 10, 15 seconds, and the two of them go trotting around the bases as the Padres take that 2-0 lead in the first inning. It does bring up a possible, I don't know, flaw in the design, though, because let's say Jazz did have it, but didn't show anybody. And Tatis is standing there at second base, and the umpires haven't made a call yet either.
He can walk
either.
Halfway back in.
What does he do? Because Jazz could double him off
right.
First base. And he's like, I don't got it. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Because you can't – Jurickson's already, you know, gotten to first base and rounded. So you can't pass Jurickson. Because if you go back, even during a home run, you're out. So he can't run back to first base because he'd pass Jurickson. But he can't keep going because Jazz might have the ball. It's kind of fortunately it didn't come, you know, to into play because the ball was a home run. But
right.
had Jazz Chisholm actually
some
caught
interesting
that.
Interesting gamesmanship.
Had Jazz Chisholm actually caught that and was slow playing it and like, I don't know, I guess we'll find out in a couple of seconds. He really left, you know, Tatis and Jurickson hanging out to dry there on what it was. And I guess it's up to the umpire to make a faster ruling. Like, you got to tell us, right? Right away, one way or another, if it's out or safe, and if you rule it's a home run and then he does catch it, then at the very least, you can't say that the guy can get doubled up at first because he's just going by what the umpire said. Umpire said it's a home run, so I started my trot.
Right.
And you'd have to put him back at first base then if it was an out. So maybe the moral of the story, and Jazz didn't do this, but Julio Rodriguez absolutely did. I don't think there was anyone on base when Julio Rodriguez did it.
It's very rare to even have the opportunity to
yeah.
do that. A lot of things have to come into place. It's like once a season, maybe.
But don't slow play the home run robbing catch either way. And Jazz didn't, so I'm not criticizing Jazz Chisholm. And I don't think anyone was on base when Julio Rodriguez did it. But I had that thought going, this potentially creates a real dilemma out there on the base paths with no call, no idea of what you're supposed to do, but then no option to really go back or go forward. We were all just left in a state of limbo for a few seconds last night going, I don't know what's happening here at the ballpark. But Jurickson, by the way, they put up a screen, and I tried to screenshot it, but I didn't quite get there. But I'll tell you, his rank still in Major League Baseball, top 10 in average. I think he's sixth in average, third in on-base percentage, seventh in OPS. His walk rate is top 20. His strikeout rate, you know, not striking out, is top 20. And the two combined are one of the best in baseball this season. That was a shot. I mean, to hit one like that on a very cool, you know, May gray night at Petco Park, even early in the game. It wasn't a warm day. It was walking into the game last night. It was cold. The wind was cold.
Cover.
It was not one of those nights that the ball will be traveling. To hit one out to that part of the park just shows you where Jurickson's game is this season. I mean, he's got everything. That's his eighth home run of the year. So he's got certainly the power. He's got slug. He's got on base. He takes a ton of walks. He's got a great eye. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. Is not striking out. Not quite to the, you know, level of Luis Arraez, but certainly among the best in baseball at not striking out. And he's getting tons of hits as well, enough to have the third highest average or sixth highest average right now in Major League Baseball. So more offense from Jurickson Profar. He later had an RBI single off a good pitcher, by the way. Jesus Luzardo was coming off three consecutive really, really good starts, yeah, and wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination last night as well. He was good. Padres struggled against lefties, but Jurickson has been the only guy, well, along with Donovan Solano since he came up, that
he's
has kind of
great.
Been immune to the lefty struggles. And
yeah,
they were the two guys who drove in all the runs last night. So it doesn't necessarily fix all the Padres' problems against lefties. It just is the two guys who haven't had problems are the ones who came through. Now, Tatis did get a couple of hits. Manny Machado extended his hitting streak to seven games. I think it's pretty much one per game. It's not like he's on fire.
I was going to say, I'm not prepared to say like, oh,
no.
They're locked in. They're
no,
out of it.
No. I don't see that offensively
but
yet, but
I'd rather that than having them go.
Exactly.
For, like, they're starting to get rolling, I think.
So that was pretty much the story offensively. Padres took that. And then the way Matt Waldron was throwing, it was one of those rare games where you felt pretty comfortable. Like, I don't think the Miami Marlins can hit this guy. I know it's a knuckleball, so it's unpredictable, and that can change pretty quickly.
Right.
But watching him work, I think they only got the tying run up a couple of times over the course of the game, even with the two-run lead.
He worked out of a few jams. But
yeah, a couple jams, but you never really got the sense that he was at all being taxed by the Marlins, and that was because he was throwing so many strikes. I mean,
so
like,
efficient. He had like
ridiculously
he was averaging like 10 pitches an inning for most
and,
of the game.
After the game, Matt Waldron caught up on a very celebratory post-game field with our own Sam Levitt.
Matt, congratulations on an excellent outing here tonight. Seven scoreless innings. What worked so well tonight?
Yeah, I was relying on the knuckleball tonight for sure. I feel like my fastball didn't have the velo, so I just relied on it. They were, you know, it was executing. I just trusted what Higgy put down. So
the knuckleball, 55% usage tonight. That's the most you've ever used it in your career. What inspired the confidence in that particular pitch tonight?
I guess just the results of it. There wasn't a whole lot of strong contact, and you know, some days it's like that, and I just got to ride that high. So I kept using it.
What about the rest of your arsenal? What worked?
Just getting ahead. I think 0-0 strike percentage and 1-1 strike percentage was great. So,
as far as the guy who just shut the door on this game, Jeremiah Estrada, yeah, just set a major league record since 1961 with 13 consecutive strikeouts. From your vantage point, what did that look like?
Yeah, that was completely different than what I had tonight. It was all gas, no breaks from him, and that was fun to watch.
And Jeremiah just got the Gatorade bath. What a moment. Matt, congratulations on the win. Terrific job here tonight. Thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, that sounded like the curtain call and
yep,
the Gatorade.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. We stuck around to watch that, and we'll get to Estrada in a second. But Waldron, 8 strikeouts, no walks. Really didn't even throw, I mean, I think he threw like 70 strikes and like 17 balls or something like that the whole night. It was very efficient. I thought he might even come back for the eighth inning. Mike Shildt did say, you know, he had the top of the lineup coming up fourth time, and Wandy was ready. It was a good lane for him, and he pitched a 1-2-3 inning as well. So, a well-managed game, but a career-high seven innings for Matt Waldron, who also said after the game, I was reading in Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning, he said, I threw the knuckleball a little faster. It was around 80 on a lot of them instead of kind of the 70 to 75 that we had seen a lot of the season. He just felt like he was getting more action on a slightly harder pitch, which we'll see if he takes that going forward into his next start.
The spin rate was down, though, despite all that. I mean, he was locked in, and really from the start, he had four or five strikeouts in the first couple innings. And you thought maybe the second or third time through Miami could get to him, but no, he was locked in and by far the best start of his young career.
No question, because I was at the game, but we had a television monitor but didn't have the sound. Was that his twin brother they were interviewing during the
yes.
game? Okay, because I was going to say, man, that he looks just like Matt Waldron. And then they're doing a split screen, and I'm going, this must be like Matt Waldron's identical twin.
So it said on the graphic, Mike Waldron or whatever. I forgot his name. And then it did say Matt's twin brother underneath. But I didn't read that part yet. And all I did was I looked up from my phone or whatever, and I go, God dang, that guy looks a lot like Matt Waldron. And Megan just looks at me and goes, hey, moron, keep reading. And I go, twin brother. Okay, there we go. That would explain it.
I wonder how that feels to have be a twin brother and your twin is like a Major League Baseball player, and it's like, I guess genetically I could have done that as well.
What happened to you?
If I put in the work, but I guess I didn't. So good for my identical twin brother who has the exact same genetic makeup that I do. And now he's making, big money as a Major League Baseball player. And I don't know what his twin brother is doing, but, cheering for his brother for sure, which is really cool. But it was kind of funny to see that last night without any context of what was going on or getting to hear the interview. But Matt Waldron, he's had some clunkers. He's a fifth starter. Got to be like the most intriguing fifth starter in baseball. I don't expect him to win Cy Young Awards, but just kind of the unpredictability of, when the knuckleball is working, how hard it is to hit, and how he can give good hitters such problems with that pitch is pretty fun to have as your fifth starter so far this season. So credit to Matt
Waldron.
We've
seen a hell of a lot worse.
When we come back, though, the Jeremiah Estrada story, like a Cinderella baseball fairy tale for this Padres relief pitcher coming out of nowhere to set a Major League Baseball record. Next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.